It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. We're going to hear now more about the man charged with driving a car bomb into New York's Times Square and how he came to be linked to the planned attack. The search started, of course, with the discovery last Saturday night of an SUV loaded with a propane, gasoline, and fertilizer bomb that was supposed to explode. NPR has learned from officials close to the case that Faisal Shahzad, the 30-year-old Pakistani-American charged in the case, had not previously raised any red flags. Counterterrorism correspondent Dina Temple-Raston has been following the investigation and is with us now to help understand why he went unnoticed. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, Dina, the court papers released yesterday said that Faisal Shahzad had admitted not just to driving the car bomb into Times Square, but also attending a terrorist training camp in Pakistan. But is it really so surprising that American authorities didn't know about him before? I mean, do they know who attends these secret camps?
Well, you know, Shahzad has ended up showing a lot of the imperfections in the U.S. counterterrorism system. You know, it'd be nice to think that law enforcement has a handle on people in this country who might want to do us harm. But the truth is, there's no really a good way to do that. There are essentially three ways that potential terrorists come to law enforcement's attention. They're either caught making calls to known terrorists who law enforcement is already tracking. Secondly, they're spotted in a place like Pakistan attending these camps, either by foreign intelligence or Pakistani intelligence, and they get flagged. Or they end up getting swept up in some sort of domestic surveillance program here in this country. And in Shahzad's case, he managed to skirt all three. You know, the New York Times is reporting this morning that a man who bought an apartment from Shahzad claimed that the Joint Terrorism Task Force had talked to him about Shahzad in 2004. And that was about the time that Shahzad had petitioned for a change in his immigration status. He had just married an American woman. I think that if officials did come to check out Shahzad, it was in relation to that, because what we understand is that he really previously had not raised any red flags.
And what do authorities say they know about why he allegedly did attempt to do this bombing?
Well, there's still a lot of unknowns when it comes to this case. Remember, I mean, basically, it's about 3 days old at this point. So we don't know Shahzad's motive. I mean, we know he lost his job. We know his house was in foreclosure and that he had taken his wife and family to Pakistan just a short time after he became a naturalized citizen last year. But what we don't know is, did he return to Pakistan to get a fresh start after being here for 15 years and then fall prey to terrorist groups who saw his citizenship as an easy way for him to come here and attack? Or did he actually go to Pakistan fully intending to come back to the U.S. and launch something like this? That's still unclear. I think we're going to find that out, however, in the coming days, because he's talking.
Well, in the criminal complaint released yesterday laying out the investigation, it did seem that there were a lot of things that he was very careful about to cover his tracks. And then there's this great sloppiness.
I know this happens all the time, right, in these cases. There's never the perfect murder. I mean, for example, he left the SUV in Times Square running with the hazard lights on, right? But the keys were in the ignition in order for the car to keep running. But they didn't just include his car keys. They included his house keys, keys to another car he owned, all kinds of things that made it really easy for investigators to bring the case back to him. Investigators say they found the same fertilizer, explosives, and other evidence linking him to the bomb in a garage behind his house. Another example, he went to all the trouble to buy this SUV off Craigslist and pay cash for the vehicle. And all he did was look, apparently, at the cargo bed in the interior and never really looked at the engine. And then when the seller asked him if he wanted a bill of sale so he could register the car, he said, no, I've got my own license plates for the vehicles. And he sort of flashed these stolen plates he had. It reminded me a little bit of hints you always see after the case is over, like in the 9/11 case. Some of the 9/11 attackers apparently told their flight instructors, I don't need to learn how to land the plane. I mean, this is less drastic, but there are those sorts of things that always come up.
Well, Dina, we just have really just a few seconds, but also on the other side, he came under surveillance once he was linked to the SUV and then still managed to get on a plane going to Dubai.
In a word, they lost him for a very short amount of time. The people who were tracking him lost him. And about the time that they lost him, they picked him up again at JFK. That's the reason why Attorney General Holder said he wasn't worried that he had slipped their news.
Dina, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
NPR's Dina Temple-Raston.